Welcome to this week's Degree of Interest with me, Monique Chambers, and today I have a house full of guests from the KTO, which is the Knowledge Transfer Office here at the University of Malta. So we've got Andres Havashi.
Correct.
And
hi, Monique.
Your role is?
Technology Transfer Manager.
Okay. And then we have Leah Davis.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do over there?
I'm a marketing intern.
Excellent. And then we have Maria Mifsud.
Mari.
Mari Mifsud. I'm so sorry. And what's your role over there?
I'm a Technology Transfer Executive.
Oh, okay. This all sounds very, very interesting. So, Andras, do you want to introduce us to the unit and tell us what you do over there?
So that's a good question, and this is something we get asked a lot. So what technology transfer or what knowledge transfer is, and to be honest, in our profession it's a kind of like a joke or a common challenge that we struggle to explain in a few words or in simple words what we do that actually reflects the breadth of activities and tasks we have to do. But all in all, what we're after is increasing the university's impact that it creates in the industry and in the society, but in other ways than research and education. So what we actually do is we assess research projects, outputs of research projects, whether they have any commercial potential or any potential to be used outside of the university. And when we find potential, then we just push those projects in any way we can to find that actual application.
Okay.
Out there in the real world, in general. Now, in reality, it includes and involves a lot of different activities.
So what sorts of things do you do? Do you do, do you help people with refining their idea to make sure it's marketable, if you know what I mean, if it's presentable to the public in a language that they would understand? What's the sort of day-to-day activity once you find that idea that is commercialable?
That is part of it.
Okay.
That is part of it. And in fact, a crucial part of it. And what we always tell people, and it's good to know because it might not be obvious to everyone, that the timeline from going from an idea all the way through proving the concept, developing a prototype and turning it into a product and putting it on the market, it takes lots of years, sometimes more than 10 years or 20 years easily.
Wow.
And the starting point is here at the university. So we start at the very beginning. I have projects that has been going on for like 10 years, actual developments, and now they are finding their way to the market. And throughout these years, we push these projects in any way we can. So, but in different phases of the development, they have different requirements. Varied what we have to do.
But what sorts of ideas come through? Because obviously University of Malta is quite comprehensive. It covers all sorts of subject areas. What sorts of things can you talk about that you're working on at the moment that are things that are potentially going to be business or products or services that we use?
Well, I can mention one that is very active one, active project, and then I will pass the mic on to Mari. And this is to me is the closest to my heart because I've been working on it for 6 years now, and this is the one that started roughly 11 years ago.
Okay.
It's about reconstituted limestone. So basically, we reuse construction waste, and we turn waste limestone into actual building blocks.
Ah. We need a lot of those in Malta.
Yes, correct.
So, Mari, tell us how you're doing this. What's the process? What have you helped this, you know, whoever generated the idea with?
Yeah, which one, his or mine?
The reconstituted stone.
Oh, okay. Actually, I was a bit part of that because we did go to the lab a bit. But to be fair, I wasn't here 6 years ago. I was just here 3 years ago. And my area of expertise is mostly life sciences and pharmaceutical science.
Okay, so really deep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my main projects are mostly focused in that area, in the science area. So my project at heart is stem cells. So
stem cells, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were you doing with those?
Well, researchers at the University of Malta found a way how to convert adult cells, so blood, mm-hmm. or cord blood, into stem cells, which can be used basically for anything.
So to fix defects, essentially, no? Is that what stem cells
are? So to explain what stem cell is, it basically is a cell which can turn into anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it in transplants, organ transplants.
Wow.
To fix defects. If you're going to have a skin, you can use it as a graft, as a skin graft. So you can, after a burn, for example.
So that's something that can actually be used globally.
Yes.
That's not something that's just Malta-specific. Yes. With your reconstituted stone, though, is that something just for Malta, or will you be able to go to places that have limestone as well, like Portland or the south of Italy?
Good question. And definitely in Malta, it's a problem all over the island. But it's also an opportunity in other countries like Spain, Portugal, Italy. Greece, Turkey, and in fact, this technology is patent protected.
Okay.
And also in these countries, patent protected.
So that's one of the things you do as well?
Yes.
You do the patent?
Yes, that's another thing that we do. So first we start with an IP disclosure or an invention disclosure. Basically, that's the first entry point for any academic who wants to work with us, that they disclose their invention to us. Then based on that disclosure, we assess the technology and check whether there's any potential. And if there is, we also check what is the right IP protection strategy. And sometimes a way forward is patenting. But we also add, and it's important to emphasize, that patents or patenting is not the only way to go. And it's just the beginning of the journey. So it's not the goal. It's just a tool for us.
And isn't it quite long and quite expensive to patent something?
Correct.
Yes, I have a memory of
it
that
is.
From
it is. It is. And it's I always say that it's quite a strange animal because patents are granted based on your science.
Okay.
But when you decide about patenting, you make a financial decision because in a way it's an investment in a future potential. But its only use is at the court when you can defend your technology.
Okay.
So that's why it's very strange.
But it's so you assess the opportunity for the company, well, this the product, whatever it is, to make sure that it will reimburse essentially the spend that is.
Yes, correct. And that's why it's a financial decision that we make. So whenever we kind of like turn away an invention, it's never about the science. It's never about the excellence of the science. It's always about the potential.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, when you've had an idea, you think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but if somebody with clearer eyes can look at it for you, they're like, nah, this is going to fail at the first hurdle. And that must be quite a hard one to get across to people if they've been living and breathing an idea. How do you handle that kind of thing? Whether it's scientific or, you know.
How do we turn people down?
Yeah. No, well, you know, is there a...
It's like a breakup.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
Because you do have to break their hearts.
Yeah. And if they've been focusing for so long, that's all they live and breathe, it's...
Yep. Well, it's difficult to get their focus onto something else, definitely. But, well, they're limited as well in terms of funds, so... Sometimes they come to us with a project which is very early and it still needs further funding.
Mm-hmm.
So we do try to help them there. And before we assess the market potential, we do need to get it at a stage where it is marketable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, we try to do it slowly and gradually, but we do have to explain why it is not a good fit. And the best way to do it is to get expertise from industry. And that way they can see what the industry wants.
Excellent. So that's one of the roles
of
working.
And let me add to this that it's never just our subjective assessment. We validate the potential and the need with the industry. So it's not our personal opinion that it doesn't have potential. And yes, it's quite difficult. And we do understand for many academics, it's their own babies. But it's a learning process for everyone because what we do is relatively new in Malta. And it's a learning process for everyone.
So this actually happens, around the world. Every university has something like KTO, or is it
correct?
Quite a thing? Yes. No, they do all. They
yes.
do. Okay.
Yes.
But and so when you're checking out these ideas, you're not just checking that somebody else in Malta isn't doing it. You have to do research on a global basis.
Yeah.
So how do you go about doing that? That must be a heck of a task. If, you know, because if people are trying to keep their ideas secret, how do you know if anyone else is doing it?
There's a risk element added to it as well. So you can never exactly know. But we do have, we do have programs which we can use, which are mainly used to check if there is a patent or publication available in something in that respect. But it really depends on what the commercial strategy is going to be. So in my case, in stem cells, we had to have a focus area. And the focus area is, the industry was more interested in whether we can replicate the actual stem cell itself rather than the process of how it's making
them. Okay. So in that case, would you try to patent that idea as well? Or is that something that's not patentable because there's a different end game?
Well, there are other methods available, but, you know, we found the differences in our method, and yes, that is the route that we're going to go down.
It'd be quite something for a Maltese. I mean, the Maltese have got quite a few inventions up their sleeves, but it's quite something when something gets produced that's used all over the world. Do you have like a little dance of success in the office? No, but it must be, like you said, it's like your baby as well. You've been working on this for 6 years.
Yes.
It's quite a long,
yes,
yeah,
a
yes,
long time.
Correct. But sometimes you have to just suppress emotions towards these projects, because at the end of the day, it's a job, and we don't want to be guided by our emotions, but our senses and the proof and fact. So
yeah, this is hard.
Mm. So what about doing other research globally? Do you guys get to travel around? Do you get to see other universities work? Do you get to go to international fairs? Because I'm imagining, you know, with something like these, you need to see what's on the ground as well. Is that something that's included?
Yes, we invest a lot of effort in keeping up with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We're quite active in the European Technology Transfer Community. So many of us volunteer also for the European Association of Technology Transfer. Also, we keep ties with the US counterparts or with US peers, because it can get inspirational. You can learn a lot from your peers, and it's just you have to keep up. So what we do here, in fact, is at par with the international level.
Excellent. So how many projects do you work on at any one time?
I think I have around 6 or 7, something like that.
Wow, okay.
But not all of them are very, very active. So,
and there'll be at different stages, I guess,
yes,
as well.
I have 5 very active projects.
Okay. But that's, you know, if you look at one of those every day, it fills your time.
Yeah.
And there's keeping on top of industry standards and industry, you know, all these other things we were talking about.
It's a lot of project planning.
No, okay.
Yeah. My calendar sometimes moves day to day.
Yeah, but altogether we keep an eye on around 50, 60 projects.
Oh, that's quite a number. And there's just you guys in the team, or the team is bigger?
Well, we have a team of 7, unfortunately, but 3 of us work on these invention projects actively.
Ah, okay. So what else happens? So, Leah, over there, you've been quite quiet. What's your role? I know you're an intern, but thank you for doing this. So what do you do on a daily basis over at the Knowledge Transfer Office?
So I'm actually a student at university, and this was a placement. So I applied and I got it. And basically what I'm doing at the moment, I've only been there for about 6 weeks. So we have to market ourselves as an office, but also all of our individual technologies needs to be marketed as well. So I work on the technologies individually, or the most active ones. We try and get those out there. And we also market ourselves as an office to academics, industry, just getting our name out there.
Excellent. And so the is that just locally in Malta, or you're doing for the idea people? Are you pushing them out internationally as well?
I mean, for now, we're sort of focusing locally, but obviously, as well, it goes international too.
So, because you don't sound very Maltese,
no,
if you don't mind me saying. So, I'm just wondering if you've done marketing overseas and if you've seen any differences.
Oh no, I've lived here since I was 6.
Oh, okay.
Not many opportunities.
No, just because local media is kind of different to international media.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different ball game if you're trying to to sell something outside, especially, I mean, we no longer have to explain where Malta is, so that's at least one bonus for you. But you're kept busy on a daily basis and you have 60 projects to...
Yeah, very busy. We're focusing on about, 15 at the moment?
Yeah.
15 very active ones, those are the main focus.
We entered the list this morning.
Yes, actually.
a bit of revision.
Yeah. Well, from a marketing perspective, we're trying to get... So the reason why we actually hired Leah is to have a focus on marketing, because we found that, it's something that we cannot do. We don't have time for it, and we're not the experts in it either. So we wanted someone with a vision, a young person, to have new ideas and fresh ideas.
And at least now you know when somebody tells you that they have an idea, you know how they can handle it.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of secrecy? Is there a lot of, you're talking about meeting with other, European KTOs and things like that. Does everyone kind of keep their ideas close to their chest, or do you actually talk about what's going on to see if there's any synergies, any opportunities for partnerships and things like that?
I do.
You do what?
I talk about the ideas.
Yeah.
Well, we have to talk about them in a non-confidential way. Mm. So... And that's, we do summaries of them so that we can send them. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, and the reason that we do is, we're not, I'm going to talk about myself. I'm not an expert in tech transfer, so I do have to get help from mentors and industry about my projects. And so, talking about them is the way that you're going to do that.
Yeah, no, it's because I've always believed that if you talk about it, someone else can give you input. Because if you don't talk about it, you can go along thinking, you're on a particular path and it can be horribly wrong, or somebody can add something to your idea straight away that you just overlooked.
So it has to be a compromise, because researchers want to keep all the information to themselves, so they want to be secretive, because they fear that somebody will steal their idea. But at the end of the day, what we do is all about matchmaking and telling everyone what we do, because as you said, they can add to our idea, and that's how you can find other opportunities. So it's rare that somebody comes up with an idea at the university, proves a concept, creates a prototype, and that exact same prototype will turn into a product. So along this innovation process, it always changes, and changes a lot, because there are other opinions, ideas, and whatnot, and everybody just keeps adding to it. And that's why it's important that we tell everyone about what we do and what our research is, what our inventions are, obviously in a non-confidential way.
So it's quite an art, actually, to be able to sort of spill the beans without spilling the beans.
Yeah.
But... I remember this from my days learning about entrepreneurship. Our lecturers would say, no, don't sign NDAs, they're a waste of time. Talk to people. So, and it's true, I remember the first with one of my inventions, the first time I presented it, someone popped up with something. I'm like, oh my God, that's genius. That is genius, and he'd added a whole strand to my product that I just hadn't considered.
Yep.
So, because it's all about food, and in Malta, most people are the same religion. So I would have thought about celiacs and, people on particular diets. And this guy said, what about religious diets? And you're like, oh, yeah. If you're in England, you're going to come across, Hindus and Jewish people and everything else. So there's this whole section from the first person I spoke to gave me that. So it is true, like you said. But you do have the evidence as well of what was originally created. So when people do come to protecting their idea, there's something there, no?
Yeah. Yes. It's easy to show results. And, results are results. You don't have to keep results confidential. It's just the way how you got those results sometimes, which is confidential.
The thing.
And it's rarely the case that you have a great idea and someone just steals it and runs with it, because that's the argument we get when we try to push people. Yeah. Okay, just tell about your research. Tell everyone. Because what matters at the end of the day, not the idea, the implementation. And the implementation, as I said before, can take years. And years and years of hard work. So even if you have a great idea and you tell it to someone, that person is not going to just run away with it, because he cannot. Because academic technology transfer is somewhat different from regular entrepreneurship. Because we start off with the technology, and then we have to find a right fit in the industry, we have to find the right fit for market need. Whereas entrepreneurs, like regular entrepreneurs, they do it the other way around. So they find the market need, they find the problem, and then they try to find the solution. So that's why what we do is a bit more difficult than entrepreneurship, but it's similar.
But also, one of the I would find frustrating is how long it takes. And if these people, you know, these inventors, these scientists are coming up with ideas, do they want to get onto the next thing and just hand it over, or do they really want to see it through till the end? That's their sort of dying wish.
We have both types. Well, I was going to touch upon something that you said, like it's like their baby and they want to protect it. But what I try to make my scientists understand is like, listen, they cannot do it alone. So, you know, you cannot protect your baby on your own. You need help. So it's like, you know, trying to get the right team to push the idea forward. And there are some academics who are willing to pass it on to someone else, but there are others who just want to hold on to it, and then they don't really have time for it. So then it gets stuck.
Now, it must be quite hard also to keep people motivated to continue. And, you know, if there's a stumbling block or something like that, do you guys, you have people in the team as well to do that, or you buy them cake? How do you?
We all have to do it.
Yeah.
And even we have to keep ourselves motivated, and it's a hard work, and it's not easy, to be honest. And we have to have those soft skills that can help us motivate academics and anyone involved in these projects. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. And even we have to keep each other motivated. Yeah. It's a lot of work, but luckily we enjoy what we do, because there's a lot of creativity in this. And personally, that's what keeps me going.
Is knowing that, well, also when you can see the potential in something, yeah, and you have a little, you know, pat on the back when something actually goes to market as well.
But to add on to that, I mean, I started working as a pharmacist, and you see the, well, not successes, but you see the customer's satisfaction on a daily basis. And this is a very long process, so you have to satisfy yourself with the little successes, because if you wait for that final big result, you won't keep yourself motivated.
And it's all, like you said, little steps, and it's somebody else's opinion coming in, and you can celebrate all those little wins.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm hoping you get to keep lots of academics happy.
Thank you.
Because I've interviewed all sorts of people on this show. There was one guy who was doing something with aircraft where he was controlling them with an iPad, which freaked me out completely, but I don't know if that might be one of the projects that you're actually working on. And it was, you know, I think I almost was silent. don't let me have to get on a plane tomorrow. But then there are some other stuff that's so huge you can't sort of get your head around it sometimes, because some of these academics and the scientists especially, you know, where do they get their brains from? You know, and it's translating what they do into sort of human speak so that it can be understood by regular Joes. So thank you all very much. I'm just going to say goodbye to Mari Massoud, Leah
Davis,
and Andreas Havesi from the Knowledge Transfer Office here at the University of Malta.
Thank you.
Thank you.